Gracious God, may these words be faithful to the written word and lead us to your living word. Amen. Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
In this week of the inauguration and the beginning of a new administration in Washington, I was deeply grateful that the gospel lesson this morning also addresses the issue of new beginnings. We see Jesus beginning his formal ministry around the Sea of Galilee in the calling of his disciples. So I think this is a beautiful opportunity, both when we consider where we are in our national life, and also when we think about the calling that we see in Holy Scripture today, to reflect on how new callings, new adventures, new life comes into your life. When we look at the example of the gospel lesson, it seems that everything happens very quickly. Jesus hears that his beloved friend John the Baptist has been arrested and later beheaded. And so he leaves Nazareth, his hometown, and moves up to the Sea of Galilee to begin a new life. And then once he's there, there is the phrase in the gospel lesson about halfway through, after he offers that beautiful prayer about the light and the darkness, where it says, from that time, Jesus began to proclaim that the kingdom of heaven had come near and called his disciples. The sense that there was a moment in time that once Jesus crossed over, there was no going back. There's only one other time in Matthew's gospel that we have that phrase, and it's when Jesus turns his face to Jerusalem and begins the march toward his death. So this is meant to call our attention to the fact that there are some new beginnings, there are some inaugurations in our own lives that begin with that bright line, with that sense that something has changed and now things are different. This isn't just callings of clergy or callings of Jesus's disciples. These callings, I know, are present in your lives. Let me give you some examples and see if you can think, and maybe you're immediately already thinking of something, where you met someone, you saw something, you heard something, you experienced something, and from that moment on, you could never go back. So here's a sort of silly example, maybe inappropriate, I apologize. When I was in college, going to the occasional frat party, what is the predominant thing that is served at those occasions?
Beer.
If it can be called beer, right? Yeah, so I didn't know that there were any other options. Like, I thought that was beer because my parents did not drink beer at home, so I had no idea that there was anything different. And the first time a friend of mine took me out and ordered a Newcastle brown ale, and I had a real beer, I could never again drink what I had thought was beer, and haven't to this day. You may have had that moment. I mean, I know I'm using these kinds of silly examples to help us all see that these times when we find ourselves moving into a new way of being happen all the time. Now, that's a fairly mundane example. But around the same time when I was in grad school, I took an ethics class. And as part of the ethics class, we were learning about animal rights. And we saw a video about research that was happening on animals with little bunnies in order to make sure that my hair smelled good, that the perfume of my shampoo would not be damaging to humans. But to see the damage that it caused to the animals changed me. In that moment, I've never again been able to buy cosmetics or shampoo that didn't have the cruelty-free icon on the back of it. I can accept animal research for healthcare and for saving lives, but for the smell of my hair, that for me was one of those lines where I had to change my behavior. When I got pregnant with Sophie, I was working for a wonderful physician at the time who was the father of four, and he said to me, he said, from the moment you hold your newborn child in your arms, you are forever changed, because there will be a tiny part of you walking around outside of you for the rest of your life. And for those of you who have either adopted, literally adopted into your hearts and lives, had children, had grandchildren, you know what that feels like once you are connected to another being like that. You are changed forever. So these are callings. These are ways that God speaks into your life a message of a new way of being. God cares about every bit of your life, whether it is what you consume, what you purchase, your relationships, or ultimately how you feel called to serve in this world. God cares about every bit of your life and will speak words of hope and calling into your hearts. Now, sometimes those moments of calling are not such a bright line. This week, I've also been reflecting and praying about and reading about Martin Luther King Jr.'s life and legacy again. And we see that as he was growing into the national leader of the civil rights movement, he had been involved in Montgomery, Alabama, and elsewhere in civil rights activities in a variety of ways. He had been coming into his voice. He had been coming into his own sense of purpose in this world. It had been emerging over a long period of time. But then ultimately, with Rosa Parks' arrest and the Montgomery bus boycott, he was given that little nudge that pushed him over to really find his voice and to really claim his leadership in a new and different way. So perhaps you all have had those kinds of callings happen in your life, where you hear a story on the news that just keeps working at you and working at you and sticks with you and won't let go until you figure out a way that you can get involved in some cause that's important to you. I think many of us here at St. Mary's had that experience when Ross Anderson first stood up and taught us about the risks to children whose parents are incarcerated and how encountering one person or one experience of love and kindness and acceptance can change the course of their lives. Ross came to us and told us that story over and over and over again, and it was an evolution while we sorted out, well, what does this mean? How is God calling this community to respond? All of that time, God's message of hope and reconciliation and justice was working, I know, in my heart and in my mind, and also in the hearts and minds of many of you. On the, you know, just a couple days after the inauguration, every single experience that people could have around this new beginning in Washington, we have seen in the news and in our own communities. From relief and joy and excitement to profound fear and worry and anxiety. No matter where you are on that spectrum, I suspect that God is speaking something into your heart and into your life. And the question that we all find ourselves facing, not just about politics, not just about what we consume, but about our very essence, is can we open ourselves to hear and then to risk following whatever it is that God is saying to us? I know personally, I can be very deaf to God's call. When I begin to have a sense that something should shift in my life, I am supremely good at just getting up, going to work, taking care of the children, whatever it is, plowing through my routine, plowing through life, focusing on my gratitudes. You know, I have all sorts of different ways that I justify, not now, not now, not now. You may have that experience too. You may have heard God speaking into your life and you're not exactly sure what the next step is. And since you don't have that certainty, you say, not now. But I promise you that that call will not leave you. When you have been touched by God's voice, however it comes to you, it will continue to work on your heart and your soul until you are ready to respond. Now, I feel like I need to address those callings or those changes, those new beginnings in our life that come and are entirely unwanted. When a beloved friend, spouse, partner, family member is diagnosed with an illness. When our finances change dramatically and we feel incredibly vulnerable. When we move to a new community and we don't know anyone. When our relationship status changes. Sometimes those inaugurations of new life and new beginning come and we are desperate to make them go away. And yet those are callings too. I would guess that when the disciples heard Jesus say, drop your livelihood, leave your family, and follow me, I would doubt that that felt super secure and easy for them. I wonder if they wanted to cover their ears and pretend that they didn't hear Jesus because the wind was high that day. There are so many times in our lives where things come to us and we feel like we're being pulled along. And sometimes all that we can do is surrender and open our hearts more widely, asking God, help me endure this. Show me where you are in this difficulty. Be with me in my fear and my worry and anxiety. I have to think that those early disciples, once they got over maybe the momentary, holy smokes, I've left my whole life, regularly said to Jesus, what is this all about? Where are we going? The promise of any new beginning, of responding to any calling, whatever it might be, no matter how simple or how grand it comes into your life, is you are taking intentional steps to follow Jesus. And no matter where that leaves, no matter how much the cost of that might be, following our Lord, drawing closer to Jesus, will bring a peace, a joy, and ultimately a sense of security that we cannot find anyplace else in our lives. So following this inauguration, thinking about our own new beginnings, and callings in our lives. May you have ears to hear our Lord summoning you with such great love, promising you a life that you cannot imagine now, but will be richer and fuller than anything you've experienced when you follow him. Amen. Amen.